1-800. And my microphone is on now. I think technical problem.
Once again, it's Hard Knock Radio. And this afternoon, we are going to let you know what went down this morning at Occupy Oakland. We have some of the sights and sounds and some of the people who went through it. All that and more coming up after the afternoon headlines with Mark Miracle.
I'm Mark Miracle with KPFA News Headlines. The plaza in front of City Hall in Oakland is clear this afternoon for the first time in about 2 weeks. Some 170 protesters had been camping there, and police arrested 85 of them early this morning. Most of the charges were for misdemeanor illegal lodging. Oakland Police Chief Howard Jordan says officers fired tear gas after being pelted with rocks, bottles, and utensils from people in the camp's kitchen area. Police also fired beanbag rounds, but no one was injured. Jordan declared himself pleased with how things went. Several hundred demonstrators tried to give President Barack Obama a rowdy San Francisco-style greeting, but were corralled far away behind police barricades when his motorcade arrived at a downtown hotel for a fundraising stop. The placard-waving crowd distributed across four blocks appeared to be about equally divided between opponents of a proposed transnational oil pipeline from Canada to the Gulf Coast and medical marijuana advocates upset over a recent federal crackdown on California dispensaries. Obama was in San Francisco to address donors at a $7,500 a plate luncheon at the W Hotel. A group of Oakland residents has filed a petition seeking to recall Mayor Jean Kwan, saying she's ignoring public safety as the city's most pressing issue. The petition filed yesterday with 71 signatures says the group has no confidence in Kwan, adding that she has no rational solution to mitigate the chaos since taking office in January. City Clerk Latonda Simmons told the San Francisco Chronicle that this is the first attempt to recall an elected Oakland official in at least 9 years. The filing comes after former police chief Anthony Batts resigned 2 weeks ago. Kwan spokeswoman Susan Piper said that Kwan has been busy with public safety issues, such as recently rehiring 38 police officers, securing a federal grant for 25 more, and sponsoring a public safety summit with hundreds of residents earlier this month. The White House says President Barack Obama plans to offer millions of student loan borrowers the ability to lower their payments and consolidate their loans. Obama tomorrow will use his executive authority to accelerate a measure passed by Congress that reduces the repayment cap on student loans from 15% of discretionary income to 10%. The White House wants it to go into effect in 2012 instead of 2014. About 1.6 million borrowers could be affected. Also, the 5.8 million borrowers who have loans from both the Family Education Loan Program and a direct loan from the government would be able to consolidate them into one loan. The consolidated loan would be up to a half percentage point less. Republican Rick Perry today placed his hopes for a comeback in the U.S. presidential race on a plan for a 20% flat tax that would give the richest their lowest tax rate in almost a century. Perry's rollout of his tax proposal, part of a broad economic plan, came as a poll showed him struggling in the race to decide the Republican presidential nominee. The Texas governor's plan would also slash taxes for corporations and could mean a tax cut for low to middle income households. Speaking at a plastics plant in a rural South Carolina town, Perry waved a postcard-sized form that he said would be the same size as a tax return under his plan to simplify the huge U.S. tax code. Perry would cut corporate taxes from 35% to 20% and encourage U.S. corporations that collectively have socked away $1.4 trillion in profits overseas to repatriate the money by letting them pay a reduced 5.25% tax for a limited time. A 20% top individual income tax rate would be the lowest U.S. levy on the richest Americans since 1916, when it was 15%. The current top rate is 35%. Details on these and other stories coming up on the evening news from Pacifica at 6 o'clock. Stay tuned now for Hard Knock Radio.
Hard Knock Radio.
I'm Arianna Huffington, and when I'm in the Bay, I keep it locked to Hard Knock Radio. News, views, and hip-hop.
This is Harry Belafonte on Hard Knock Radio.
This is Congresswoman Barbara Lee. When I'm not throwing down on the floor of Congress, looking out and fighting for your rights, I'm listening to Hard Knock Radio.
This is your friend, Mumia Abu-Jamal, live from death row.
You messed up the cops, go get the politicians. Doing?
Yeah.
Get him out of office. They did the same thing to the governor. When the governor didn't do what the people were saying, they got him out of office. The people can do the same thing. Get the politicians out of office. Don't be messing with them. Waste your time. Give me sign a petition. Get them up out of here.
And that's what the occupations are doing, not only nationwide, but worldwide. They're embarrassing the infrastructure that was set up to help the people. So where we go from here, we go to wherever we need to go to have success in this movement. It can't stop and it won't stop.
We've been told up to we got over here, okay? Off the boat. And a lot of times when we were trying to stand up and do what we were doing, no one was standing up when we got the dogs sicked on us, when the fire hoses were sicked on us, okay? When our churches were bombed, where were the people then? I'm saying now, what you're going to do now is keep the politicians out of office. The politician is the problem.
Davey D hanging out with you. It is early in the morning, about 7:30. We are down here in Oakland at the perimeter of where the police have blocked off everybody, which is about a good 4 or 5 blocks from the Occupy Oakland site, which was at Grant Plaza, a.k.a. City Hall. We have a few people that were in the middle of the removal efforts of the police, and we wanted to find out what they saw. What's your name?
My name's Sarah Noor.
And your name?
Ann Wharton.
Let me start off with you. Oh, wait. Let me start off with you, sir. What did you see? Was this expected?
There were a lot of rumors going around yesterday that an eviction was imminent, and a lot of us had set up a text message alert system. So we got called about 3 in the morning that cops were amassing in the area, and then about 5 o'clock, riot police actually surrounded the occupiers and arrested anyone who did not leave at that time.
Now, on the mainstream corporate media, they were saying it was pretty peaceful, but you all experienced something different.
Yeah, there was nothing peaceful about it, and from my experience. The police, as soon as they arrived, had pulled their batons out and were quickly approaching the occupation, and within, I don't know, like 5 minutes, there was tear gas. So
nothing peaceful about that at all.
No.
But on your part, you guys weren't the ones that, you know, they try to always make it seem like that folks who are quote-unquote protesting are the ones causing riots and all that, but that I didn't see that to be the case at all.
It was a peaceful protest. There was no violence whatsoever.
Me. We are 99. We don't occupy. We are 99. We don't occupy.
Hey, brother, can I ask you, man, what were you telling everybody today? You were making some pretty sharp remarks, you know, out there towards the police. Can you let everybody on air know what you were saying to them?
What I'm saying to the police is that they're 4 o'clock in the morning, COINTELPRO tactics of beanbags and tear gas at a peaceful protest was unwarranted. The city of Oakland Mayor Gene Kwan could come to no clear resolve on how to handle the occupants because we were a very peaceful protest, always have been and always will be. So to come in to a peaceful encampment where the people were just practicing their First Amendment rights with COINTELPRO military-type tactics is unwarranted.
There were about 600 cops, but maybe 100 people in tents. What was that about?
The 600 cops and 100 people in tents. Do the math. But we had more people than that. But still, for outside agencies to come in and get involved, for them to increase their budget was absolutely ridiculous. The only thing that the people have been doing here has been feeding the community. What Occupation Oakland has done is what the city has failed to do, to provide the people with a peaceful place and a safe place to sleep. Those are those people who were homeless here originally, and providing food pretty much 24/7.
There was someone who the city administrator said that they were working with community leaders or community groups to provide services for folks. Is that the case?
I can't comment on that because I'm not quite sure. I'm willing to say no, because the city administrators have never worked with us. When they first sent out the letter of the things that they wanted us to comply to, we did comply. And then when they came with the letter to vacate, they had a whole bunch of other trumped up things. So it's just like OPD. Your first charge is never your original charge. You always get something trumped up.
You had mentioned earlier, you were reminding the police that they're just a budget cut away of being on the other side of this barrier where we're at. Can you elaborate on that?
Well, that's the truth of the matter. You look at it nationwide, people are losing their jobs all over the place, whether it be big corporations or local civil servants. Oakland can't handle this kind of pressure. They couldn't handle it without this kind of pressure. I think it was last year sometime they let 20-some-odd police officers go, and now they're trying to hire 24 more.
Let 80 go and they hired 20 back.
Okay, they let 80 go and hired 20 back. So that's 60 people without a job. So pretty soon, who knows, there might be 20 or 30 of them that's going to be on the other side over here in complete realization of what the future holds for them.
Let me ask you this, my last question. What was the climate like around here just with the other businesses? I noticed that you all had a lot of things donated, food, porta potties and all that. So were there complaints from the locals here?
There were absolutely no complaints from the locals here. Like you said, I won't mention any businesses, but there were a lot of local businesses. No, I will, because I don't think they're ashamed of it. Tully's, right here in front of us, was a big supporter. I know that for a fact because of how involved they were. And it seemed like most of the local businesses were in solidarity with the protesters. They saw what we were doing. They saw how crime in the area had dropped down. They saw how people were being fed, how the camaraderie of people from very diverse populations were just coming together under one umbrella of just freedom and equal opportunity for everyone.
It became a de facto, I mean, not that it was intended, but in many ways a tourist attraction. Let's go down to Occupy Oakland, grab a cup of coffee, take pictures, and get politicized.
It absolutely did, but with that came some enlightenment. Even though you might have come in here to get a Facebook photo update or something like that, you couldn't help but leave here touched and leave here being a part of this movement. Because once you came in here and you saw that there was a children's village, there was arts and crafts, the medic, we had a city infrastructure that was far better than the city that we actually live in.
The crime had been reduced in the area, but that was used as a justification for shutting it down. The alleged reports of assaults, intimidation. Can you elaborate on just how the security and the safety within this in Oscar Grant Plaza?
Well, the incidents that happened were like real minor skirmishes. More so yelling and screaming and minor placement of hands. There was one incident where a gentleman who was homeless was struck over the head with a board. That incident happened because people did not understand the sensitivity of dealing with one another. And that happened the first week. Within 10 days, what would be considered thugs that could not be rehabbed were rehabbed. They found sensitivity. They found a way to communicate when people were being hostile besides being physical. So that happened in a two-week period where the city of Oakland could not even fathom a way to approach young juveniles that they felt could not be rehabilitated or they didn't even want to bother. Occupation Oakland was a place for the forgotten to have jobs and an opportunity to be human beings.
Let me ask both you and Reggie here. We were inside the press conference and we noticed that many of the mainstream media, in particular the guys from Cron, Will Tran, some of the other folks were snickering, laughing, being pretty hostile towards Occupation Oakland. Now, Juan, I know, you know, can you talk about the relationship that you all had with the corporate media, just sitting in a media and seeing that, you know, there was already an agenda on their behalf was a little disconcerting, but how did you see it?
Well, corporate media, certain channels like Channel 5, it seemed like they had an agenda. The way that the corporate media was handled, I don't agree with. I think that they should have been allowed entrance into the camp without facing any kind of hostility. But that was just a small voice of hundreds. For the most part, they were treated very, very well. They were given tours of the camp. And we all know that corporate media has an agenda. They don't want to see this succeed because if this succeeds, what will they cover? If we improve on the life that people want and take away all the negative aspects, what will they have to talk about? So right now, this is a hot thing, the hot spin. Look at all the bums at all the occupations. Get a job. Well, we want jobs. Everyone who comes down to these occupations either want a job or want their jobs to be secure, and they want to make sure that there are no more corporate bailouts, that schools are not closed, that libraries are not closed. Everyone is out here for a very valid reason. And for big business or anybody else to think that this is a movement of yellers and screamers for nothing, just wait until you get your pink slip.
Remember when police did Egyptians who were defiant? Even President Obama condemned the violence. But when NYPD beat Americans, they're silent. It's apparent that there's bias. Stick for the people, but you're terrorists to the liars. A crooked cop just for embarrassment should be fired. And if you want to see terrorists, then look higher. They in the skyscrapers for bullying from my labor. Forcing people out of their homes and falsified data. So it's either unified now or cry later. 1% got the wealth, but the 99's greater. So in every city, we gon' occupy major. Cause nobody got more welfare than Wall Street. Hundreds of billions after operating falsely. And nobody went to prison. That's what you lost me, but my home, my job, and my life, we what it cost me. We in 99, we gon' occupy. We in 99.
in the area where I was, a group of us had been chanting, playing some music, showing solidarity with the folks occupying for about 2 hours. There had been a line of cops in front of us the whole time. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, they pushed against the crowd, knocked several people to the ground, handcuffed them, and took them away with no provocation whatsoever. So I wouldn't describe it as nonviolent.
Here, I want to take a picture. Maybe you can describe what we're looking at right now. So people, in, you know, this police vehicle.
There's a Union City police vehicle that looks like a military tank to me, driving by, heading down towards Oscar Grant Plaza.
Wow, so we have militarized police, and it looks like pretty much an armored vehicle. Let me ask you this. One of the concerns that many have had was the marginalization and continued false reporting or exaggeration of things that are going on. The most pestering one was the situation about rats. Anybody who's been in downtown Oakland has come from the Fox Theater. If you go all the way over to the Paramount, or if you're anywhere near here, know at night, this place is crawling with rats. But they made it seem like you all brought them.
I think that was essentially an excuse. When you bring together large numbers of people, there's going to be some logistical issues to be worked out. I think those absolutely could have been worked out. And what I think is especially shocking about this situation is that Mayor Gene Kwan was elected with the support of many working people, many community groups, many unions and other labor organizations, and she was elected to be an advocate for the people, for the working people of Oakland that have been so hard hit by this crisis. And now has come the time when the people are standing up and saying enough is enough, and instead of supporting that and working out solutions to the logistical issues, Mayor Kwan sends in riot police to kick them out.
Just as we were talking, we just saw a Union City police car, and we just saw a Pleasanton police car, you know, cities that are a good 30 miles from Oakland. Sarah, how are you feeling about all this? What do you anticipate will happen next?
Well, as I said, I'm feeling shocked that a city administration that was elected to be a voice of the people instead sent riot cops to remove the people when they tried to stand up against the injustice that has been hitting Oakland communities so hard. But I also feel optimistic and hopeful because I believe that the Occupy movement over the past few weeks has really shown the strength of the American people, that people have been feeling beaten down for all these years, but now they're finding their voice, they're finding their strength, they're finding hope, and riot police can't turn that off. And so I think we're all going to be back out there. We're going to stay strong. We're going to continue to target the banks and the Wall Street companies that put us into this mess, and nothing that the police can do will end that.
You know, one thing, Saturday seemed to be pretty successful. Lots of people came down, and y'all protested in front of a couple of banks. And I think for a lot of people, that was something of, it was good to see that sort of movement. It was more than just occupying, but it was actually bringing heat where heat was deserved. Can you speak to that?
Yeah. Some of us have been involved over the past few weeks in actions targeting banks. I was involved in coordinating an action that shut down the Wells Fargo corporate headquarters in San Francisco for 5 hours last Wednesday. And I think that, you know, the occupations have been a great beginning and have brought people together and encouraged people to unite and lift their voices. And now we need to take that heat directly to the people and the corporations that have caused this problem in the first place, and that's the banks and the Wall Street corporations. And so I think, you know, as long as business as usual is continuing for them, they're not likely to listen to our demands. And so I think we all need to take some of that street heat directly to the real targets.
Well, Sarah, we appreciate it. Is there anything that you would want people that are listening to know, at least at this early hour in the morning, knowing that things may change by this afternoon, but, you know, anything that you would want to communicate?
I would say don't be afraid. We the people are so much stronger than police repression, and we are all out here on the street today. Franco Gawa Plaza can't stay shut forever. We're all going to be back out there. We're going to be at the banks. We're going to be at the Wall Street companies. We're going to be holding our elected officials accountable and demanding that they actually go in and arrest the CEOs that crashed our economy instead of arresting innocent people that were, using their right to free speech. Right?
Let me ask my last question. Many people didn't realize that there were people already here at the plaza before Occupy came, and you guys figured out how to, you know, basically work and be alongside them. It wasn't a thing of, like, move them out. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the the difficult thing about these economic times is that it's moved so many people out of the middle class and down into the poverty, right? But the positive aspect of that is that now people, you know, some folks who until recently thought they had a pretty secure future are learning to work side by side with people who've been treated this way for generations, right? And, you know, a lot of us who've been luckier and have been able to grow up in a more middle-class environment, right? We have a lot to learn from people who've been fighting against oppression for decades and centuries, and I think this is a great opportunity for us all to converge.
What have you learned, you know, from working alongside those who had been generationally displaced?
I've learned a lot about persistence and resilience, right? And that the times when things feel bad, that you've got no choice but to go on. You don't have the choice of giving up because it's about your life and your family, right? And I think that's true for all of us in one way or another.
Well, there you have it. We're going to take a break. We may roll over to the press conference and see what the mayor has to say. We'll be back. Peace.
Hi, I'm Margaret Cho, and you're listening to Hard Knock Radio on KPFA.
What up, though? This is Invincible from Detroit to Oakland. Always listening to Hard Knock Radio, news, views, and hip-hop. Yeah.
On the move, this is Pam Africa on Hard Knock Radio, the station of resistance. Down with this rotten-ass system. Stay tuned to Hard Knock Radio.
This morning at 4:30 a.m., the police department with mutual aid began enforcement on the notice of violations and demand to cease the violations issued on Friday, October 21st, to persons staying overnight in Frank Ogawa Plaza. By approximately 5:30 a.m., Frank Ogawa Plaza had been contained, and the city is in the process of mobilizing the cleanup process. The City of Oakland appreciates the outstanding mutual aid assistance provided by local law enforcement agencies. From the outset of the demonstration, which began approximately 2 weeks ago on October 10th, the City of Oakland focused on public health and safety, facilitating protesters' right to free speech and assembly, as well as crowd control. 2 days into the demonstration, the city began to communicate by written notices the ground rules required in order to protect these issues and to work with the group of what the city needed to maintain the protest. After the first weekend, the city began getting reports of problems and communicated with the demonstrators about additional health and safety concerns such as fire hazards, sanitation, food storage, unsafe structures built in the plaza, and noise. By the second week, conditions deteriorated. On at least two occasions, American Medical Response was denied access to provide medical care. The Oakland Fire Department and the Police Department were denied access to the plaza to respond to calls for service. The city also received reports that an individual was severely beaten. Sanitation conditions worsened with human waste throughout the plaza, as well as improper food storage. The existing rodent problem was exacerbated, and the county health referred and informed us that they would not come out and exterminate the rodents. The plaza was physically damaged on a daily basis by graffiti, litter, and vandalism. Fire hazards continued unabated, including cooking with open flames, improper storage and disposal of propane tanks, storage of grease, inadequate fire extinguishers, density of tents, as well as flammable materials. We did offer to pick them up and remove them from the site as early as yesterday. The City of Oakland's goal has been to facilitate individuals to remove their tents, cooking facilities, and belongings, and to leave cooperatively. The city has partnered with community allies to help facilitate communication with protesters regarding their departure and provided services to those without housing and mental health needs. These efforts were not successful over the weekend. Securing an adequate level of mutual aid has also been a primary goal, especially considering the regional impact that the demonstration has had on other local law enforcement agencies. I want to personally thank all of the local law enforcement agencies that provided assistance. I want to thank the Oakland Police Department, the Oakland Fire Department, and specifically Chief Jordan and Deputy Chief Israel. The city remains committed to respecting free speech as well as maintaining the city's responsibility to public health and safety. Once safe and practical, peaceful daytime assembly will be allowed between the hours of 6 a.m. and 10 p.m., but no camping or overnight stays are permitted. There may be some disruption to the plaza during the time that it takes to clean it up, and we want to ensure that the plaza poses no health and safety hazards. For now, the plaza is closed. The City of Oakland's goal is to clean it up to facilitate free speech and assembly as soon as practical. I'll pass it over to you.
Good morning, everyone. This morning at about 4:30 a.m., hundreds of OPD officers as well as allied agencies came to Frank O'Gower Plaza to remove approximately 200 campers that had been camping there overnight for the past 2 weeks. People who wanted to leave were given the opportunity to leave along with their property. We had about 30 people that left on their own without any incidents. As the officers moved in, we ended up arresting about 75 people. That's an approximate number now, but we're still processing the number of arrestees, and that number will likely increase. During this operation, there was use of force. We fired or used tear gas in one particular incident. There were also beanbag rounds that were fired, not rubber pellets, as been previously reported. Those incidents, per our policy, will be investigated and reviewed by the Internal Affairs Division and the Office of Inspector General, who will be looking at this particular operation for any kind of training needs. The mutual aid people that are agencies that were here with us, I'd like to thank them and personally list who they were, starting with the Alameda County Sheriff's Department, the Berkeley Police Department, University of California Berkeley Police Department, Hayward PD, Fremont PD, San Leandro PD, Pleasanton, Emeryville, Union City, Newark, Solano County, Alameda PD, California Highway Patrol, the Santa Clara County Sheriffs, San Francisco County Sheriffs, and lastly, the San Jose Police Department. There were no injuries reported at this point to either demonstrators, arrestees, or police officers. There were no children that were found in the camp, and everyone that had a dog with them were allowed to leave, and they left peacefully with their dogs. Yes. Yes.
Paul Burton, freelance writer, AFL-CIO. At a time when employee pensions are being cut, when public service workers are being laid off and libraries are being closed, how do you justify this expense of 500 or 600 police officers from around the area coming in and destroying a peaceful camp where there was maybe 100 people, as you said, maybe 75 arrested? How do you justify that expense? How much is it going to cost Bay Area taxpayers?
We have attempted on many occasions to seek compliance with the city's request. We were not successful. As the city administrator, accompanied by the police chief and the fire chief, we have an obligation to maintain public safety and health. And as I stated in my opening comments, we were not able to respond to calls for service when people were requesting service calls. We had put in place alternative service response. The fire department, for instance, would allow for people having seizures or suffering from overdoses to be taken out to the 14th Street so that we can provide medical response. I have an obligation and a responsibility to uphold public health and safety. I could not do that under these circumstances, and I made the decision with the team that was in place to put an end to what I see as a very critical situation that posed significant risk.
I'm going to take two more questions.
And how much will it cost? That was the first question.
Those numbers have not been determined yet.
We'll get that information out.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll be keeping the updates on the website as the situation progresses, and we'll be sending out the advisories.
You say people left, you allow people to leave, but how come my daughter is in jail right now and she's trying to get out of there?
The wrong side of history much?
How come my daughter's friend has a injured leg from a rubber bullet?
It's not true that
we didn't let the EMT in there. They were always allowed in there. That's another lie.
But the city of Oakland is such a strapped mind. Why would you guys even do this?
That was such a package.
Is that $1 million or $2 million you think that goes?
What about the mall?
You guys just go over there. You can't go vampire. We got all the water.
Got a little testy there this morning. That was the press conference. We wanted you to hear the 17 police agencies that were used to remove 150 to 200 people this morning from Occupy Oakland. We wanted to hear the repeating of lies and exaggerations that was used to as an excuse to remove the folks that were at Oscar Grant / Franco Garza Plaza. We have somebody who has been in the camp from day one that we want to talk to that runs down exactly what was going on at Occupy Oakland and swiftly and efficiently counters the type of rhetoric that you just heard at the press conference. We want to play that. Want to let you hear it so you know exactly what was going on. And when you hear the breakdown and how it's explained, you'll go, oh my gosh, people are on the take or something is wrong. Right now, ladies and gentlemen, we're in the middle of the KPFA Fall Fun Drive. I want to be able to dedicate almost the entire show to this without asking for you to pledge money. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give out the phone number right now. It is 510-848-5732. I'll say it slowly. 510-848-5732 or 1-800-439-KPFA. We will not stop covering what is going on in Occupy Oakland, Occupy San Francisco, Occupy Berkeley, Seattle, the Occupy movement. We're not going to do that. We're not going to stop. At the same time, we have to remind you that we are trying to make sure that we are able to sustain ourselves. This afternoon, what I'm looking for is 15 people to give us a call right now at 510-848-5732. I said that I'm pledging, I'm promising that we will get 15 people to pledge this afternoon. What I'm offering for you is the Black Power mixtape. That is the DVD put together by Danny Glover, featuring everybody from Angela Davis on down to Kwame Ture, who is known as Stokely Carmichael at that time. We're asking for a $90 pledge, something that you can spread out over a series of months. We will work out to about $6 or $7 per month. We have two people on the line. Can we get a third, fourth, and fifth as we make our way towards the goal of 15 pledges this hour? 510-848-5732, 1-800-439-KPFA. I think you will really appreciate the woman that we are about to interview. And I only want to I want to play that. I mean, she really gives a thorough breakdown. She describes exactly what was taking place at Occupy Oakland. It is something you can appreciate. Also, I would be remiss if I didn't remind folks, as you're calling 510-848-5732 or 1-800-439-KPFA, I'd be remiss if I did not remind you that as we speak, people are meeting at the Oakland Public Library. Occupy Oakland and everybody, they're regrouping. So I want to make sure you understand that that is where they're doing that. We have four people on the line, and let me let you also know what we have. We have the two CD set of Cornel West and Tavis Smiley. You heard some of that the other day, talking Truth to Power, the poverty tour that they were on. I think this is something that many of you found to be very inspiring. I want to make sure that if you didn't get a chance to cop that or peep it, $75 pledge is what we're asking for. Give us a call right now. We have four people that are at the phone room that are not on the phone right now. We have four people that are on the phone, but we got another four that are sitting there. So the phone number again is 510-848-5732, 1-800-439-KPFA. Let me let you know, and this is, you know, this is not tooting our horn. This is what we do every day. I woke up to the sounds of helicopters this morning and was down there probably about 5:30. I got over there. Mitch, who does letters and politics, he was there with Laura. They were already on the block, you know, getting reports and talking to folks. Folks from our news department were already out there. And this is what we do. We fanned out and we covered all the different angles. Some of us went to the press conference. Some people stayed near the plaza. Others were just talking to people on the streets so that we could give you as comprehensive coverage as we possibly could. This is what we do as a radio station. We also understand, and I saw this firsthand, while at the press conference, I saw the people from CRON sit up in front of the dais before the press conference started and started mocking Occupy Oakland, started making fun of them. They were making jokes. Oh, it's the corporate media. It's the corporate media. And they all started laughing like it was a frat boy thing. This went on this afternoon. I was there. I saw it with my own eyes. We talked to other people about it. Those are the type of folks that are covering our stories and our issues. In other words, they could be just as bad as the police. They don't care. They didn't care. They thought it was funny. They didn't care that tear gas was lobbed upon people. They didn't even care that folks were fighting, probably to save their own jobs. But this is the type of society we live in. Folks get caught up, and they roll with the 1% like they're really part of it. We are steadfastly, you know, sure that we are with the people that are out there fighting truth to power day in and day out. That is what we do. And the only way we can continue to do this is if you call 510-848-5732, 1-800-439-KPFA. We need 10 more people to call. No, actually, 8 more people to call so we can make our goal of 15 pledges this hour. I want to play the interview of the young woman, the woman that was really talking about what was going on. Her daughter was arrested. She was livid. She tried to talk to the corporate media, and they laughed at her in her face at the press conference. You think the police are bad, but what about the corporate media that actually fans the flames, takes the narrative of the police, or actually makes up something themselves? And so this woman, she refutes all that in clear detail, and you will hear this in just a couple of seconds. I want to also let you know this afternoon, for a $40 pledge, if you haven't got this, you need to get it. It is our mixtape, the Hard Knock Radio mixtape called Dedicated to the 99. It features some of the songs and interviews with everybody from Immortal Technique, Lupe Fiasco, all who you've heard on these airwaves, Danny Glover, Jasiri X, whose song we played, Rebel Diaz. Just now, this afternoon, there was a launching of Occupy Hip Hop, bringing all the hip hop artists from David Banner on down. We have all that on this mixtape, dedicated to the 99%, $40 pledge. That is what we're looking for you to call. Can we get 2 more people so we can go listen to what this woman had to say? Also, let me remind you, Flashpoints will also be covering this coming up. So we're really going to go in deep on this. We need 2 more people to call us at 510-848-5732, 1-800-439-KPFA. This is more than just us talking about, you know, trying to save KPFA. We're talking about making sure that folks really have a voice. When you have all these people that are down there supporting what is going on down there, supporting the cause, supporting the fight against bankers and financial institutions that have demonized and literally destroyed us. And you have corporate media out there at press conferences laughing at the people. Then God help us, because look at what sort of image they send around to the rest of the world. They start to believe that is nothing but a bunch of dirty hippies out there. They start to believe that the people out there are crazy because they might make $100,000 a year, $200,000, so they don't have to go through what we have to go through. This is why we do what we do. 510-848-5732, 1-800-439-KPFA. I don't mean to get upset, but to see the disrespect that people who are struggling are getting from people who are supposed to report the news is something that you just can't sit back and just allow to happen. The only way that we can make sure that we even a keel is to support those institutions, whether it's us or Indy Bay or SF Bayview or whatever. You have to support those independent media sources that will tell the truth on your behalf. Just like politicians have been bought off, many in the corporate media are being bought off as we speak. This afternoon, I had a hard time convincing somebody. There was more than 200 cops out there on the plaza. I see it with my own eyes. The chief even said there were hundreds out there, and they're arguing, well, it can't be four. It only has to be five. It can't be 500 people because, you know, ABC and CBS said it's 200. What the hell are you talking about? You're listening to the same people that said good, hardworking people out there were dirty hippies. 510-848-5732, 1-800-439-KPFA. Let us let this lady, who we talked to, who was ridiculed by the corporate media at the press conference, break down exactly what happened. I'm glad we have these airwaves to give her a voice so that we can all understand what is truly taking place in these Occupy camps and at the Occupy movement.
Davey D, we're just leaving the press conference here at Oakland City Hall. What's your name?
Caitlin, and I'm not.
You had mentioned that your daughter got arrested, and that seems to contradict what Chief Jordan was saying, that people were allowed to leave and disperse. You took issue with that.
Yes, most of the people who got arrested, I was actually not on site when it happened. I was just a couple blocks away. But I texted my daughter when I heard the cops were coming, and I said, can you get out? And she said, yeah, I'm trying to get out. And she couldn't get out. They arrested her along with a bunch of other people that are friends who I know would have left if they were had been allowed to leave.
Somebody had raised the issue about costs. They said that there may have been about 100 police officers at the, 100 people in tents, mm-hmm. but there were in the neighborhood of 500 to 600 police officers that were used in this exercise. Your thoughts on that and what them talking about with the costs?
Of course, it's an extreme use of force and extremely expensive. And instead of like what we were doing in the camp is we were feeding hundreds of people every day from 7 o'clock in the morning till 1 a.m. Hundreds and hundreds of people every day were getting fed there. Our medics were treating the people who had nowhere else to go for health care. So we were performing all these functions that the city is unable to perform, and yet they can't afford to send 500 cops in to arrest people and bash heads and totally destroy everybody's personal property, which is what it looks like out there right now.
We're going to take a break because we have to leave this room, and we'll continue this. I'm going to continue this.
Okay.
So we were now made to move outside. We're standing in front of Occupy Oakland. You had talked about, property damage. Talk about and describe for our listeners what you're seeing here. And I know you're upset. I could see you're ready to cry on this. But please, so people can understand what you're seeing.
Right here used to be the medic tent where many, many people who had no other way to get treated were treated by volunteer street medics. Now everything's all trashed. Right here, there was a little feminist area for women, trans and queer people to feel safe in the camp. And I see blankets all over the place and ripped camping tents. And it just looks like a hurricane hit here. All these tents, all these people who had this thriving community here, which was operating by its own laws, outside of capitalism, outside of the police state, and now it's all totally destroyed.
Many people outside of Oakland don't really understand that there were people already down here prior to Occupy Oakland. And one of the challenges that you all wrestled with was how to deal with an already displaced community, i.e. the homeless, that was here. Can you talk a little bit about that? And what were they doing prior to Occupy Oakland? Were they in shelters around here? Were they sleeping here? What was the situation?
Well, some of them were sleeping around here. But when the word got out that you could get a tent and a place to and good food, people started coming from, lots of places. So some of them were people who had lived here, and some of them were people who came from other neighborhoods. And I want to first say the positive thing, which was like this is my first experience of such a sort of racially mixed crowd where there was problems, but they weren't racial problems. In other words, I heard, people say, I heard a black man tell me that he kind of got over his homophobia by being around people here. And he said first when these crazy white kids came, he was like, he couldn't believe it, but then everybody was working together, but there were, we did have some issues because there's a lot of people here who, are very damaged by the system and have been, had terror, grown up in conditions that are very, very inhuman. And those people sometimes don't act so good.
Right. Just as we continue on, we just noticed that a phalanx of Berkeley police just came by. We're standing with the University of California police, so a lot of jurisdictions here. With that being said, just, going back to this, my contention had always been that there's a large homeless population in the Bay Area. Many people feel that they're not always getting the help that they deserve. What I don't understand is that if you all were doing the feeding and doing the clothing and doing the mentoring and counseling, you know, as you are also addressing this larger issue, why not sit there and work with you all to continue that, especially if you're not taking money out of the city coffers to do this?
Wait, I'm not sure I have to clarify your question, but first I want to finish up what I was saying before, which is that, you know, it became like there wasn't this separation. Like, sometimes it would bother me when people would get up here and talk about the homeless as though they and us. It was us. There was many people working the kitchen, you know, many people like stepped up. I mean, not everybody. Some people just came to get the free meal and hang out and ogle women or whatever, you know, but there was a lot of people who stepped up and got engaged, and we all worked together. And I have never had that experience with such a diverse group of people. So I just want to finish that. But your question was about...
Well, I was looking at this, you know, just to kind of make it simple. Yeah. There was already a population of people that were here that weren't getting adequately serviced by the city.
Right.
You have Occupy Oakland that, you know, quotations that have come here and started to fill that void in addition to addressing the original issues of, you know, what the economic terror has laid upon people. Mm-hmm. One would think that if you're filling that void of feeding and clothing and mentoring the mm-hmm. people, that there would be that this would be embraced and something that folks would want to work with you on. Why was that not embraced by the city, especially when we have budget deficits? It seems like you're saving them a lot of money and heartache at the very least.
Because we weren't just feeding and clothing people. We had this community here, and it was a community of resistors and of non-compliers. You know, this is a community of people who are saying, no, we're not going to follow your rules and live by your rules. We're creating our own rules here, and we want to fight the bigger picture together. You know, and this is the beginning of a larger struggle. And, you know, I think they, you know, saw it as the beginning of a larger struggle, and they don't want to have that larger struggle.
What would that larger struggle be?
I mean, for many of us, including myself, it would be, you know, for a completely new world, for a struggle, first of all, against capitalism and towards building something else. I should say one of the issues that brought, like, the kind of the white radical community and the Oaklanders together, a lot of us have been working together on police issues, you know.
Oscar Grant in particular,
and also, well, yeah, particularly Oscar Grant. There was a previous... affinity between these two groups of people around that struggle.
So where do you see things going now? You know?
Well, there's a meeting at 4 o'clock at Oakland Public Library. That's 14th and Madison. And everybody should come to that. I hope this broadcast gets out before 4 o'clock today, because everybody should come to that, because we're going to regroup and we're going to come back. Not necessarily. I don't know in what form. We're going to figure it out, but this is not over.
You know, lastly, cost. 500-600 police, you know, tanks from Union City, all sorts of stuff. Was there another way to deal with this? Or, you know, they seem to say at the press conference that they needed, you know, that show of force, that the 100 people that were camped out here just wouldn't go on their own, so 600 police officers from as far away as San Jose was needed, but nobody was hurt. The police say that they admit that they fired the tear gas and all that. So I'm a little confused as to what the 600 was used.
I mean, when people saw the 600 cops show up, everybody was like, okay, fine, arrest, you know, let me go. Nobody was really wanting to put up a resistance. I think I wasn't actually here, but from what I hear from everybody who was in here, like at that point there was no idea of putting up resistance once they realized how much force there was. But previous to that, there was a readiness in the camp to defend the camp, to build barricades, to try to slow down the police from coming in here. You know, so there was this idea that we would resist. We wouldn't just calmly go away. So that's probably why they figured they needed six to one.
Also, the corporate media. Can you clarify the misconceptions that they have put out continuously, along with concerted efforts from people who still get a free rein, like the Andrew Breitbarts, that have specifically targeted Occupy Oakland, even though these reporters and bloggers are nowhere near the city? Can you talk about that? I know that you had some words with the folks from Channel 5 and what they weren't doing during the press conference, and maybe you could let our listeners know what was happening.
Yeah, well, I sort of stopped reading the news stories and have just had people tell me about it, because they would make me so furious and sick to my stomach. But I didn't see any. The KGO person says she claims that she did talk about this. the fact that we were feeding hundreds of people every day from 7 a.m. to 1 a.m. in the morning, and nobody went hungry in this camp all day long. People were eating, donated. Labor donated, food donated, everything donated. Everything was free. That was the level of support that we had in the community. And not once did I hear that mentioned. They would mention the rats, which, yeah, they were rats.
Already been here. If you come out the Fox Theater at night, anybody who's been downtown Oakland knows it's like New York City. There's a lot of rats down here.
All of a sudden they worry about the rats when we're here. And how about the rats two blocks down the street that they didn't worry about last week or they're still not worrying about?
How did you all deal with the rat? There was a rat problem here. Can you, just on a different note before you continue answering, that just personally would be like free.
Actually, it wasn't that bad. I mean, there was these two rats that I actually got used to seeing, that they stayed in this one. There was two rats that would run back and forth across the amphitheater sometimes in our general assemblies, and I labeled them Andrew and Minnie because I started to like get familiar with them. But I never heard of a rat going to anybody's tent. And I mean, I have rats in my backyard, so they're gross, but it wasn't like people were getting bitten by rats. It wasn't like there was a rat infestation. There was a few rats around like there are almost everywhere in any big city. And there was a lot of attention paid. I mean, the people in the kitchen, a lot of them have had experience in food kitchen and stuff like that. So there was a lot of attention to health and safety issues in the kitchen. People wore gloves. They didn't allow people to serve themselves. Everything was carefully washed and disinfected. So this health and safety line that they're giving us is nonsense.
Right. Well, it goes along with the narrative of, you know, crazy hippies here, and with that comes the connotation of people being dirty versus looking at the fact that probably because most people are health and health conscious that you were probably going to be above board. There you have it. We want to, first of all, thank everybody who's called in this afternoon. You can still call in to KPFA Hard Knock Radio. We wanted to give truth to power this afternoon. We wanted to make sure the folks from Occupy Oakland and the Occupy movement had these microphones to tell their story and give their perspective, especially after witnessing what we saw this afternoon at the mayor's press conference where people were laughing like it was a fraternity. Immature people at fraternity. No regard for what was really happening. No regard for the truth. It's almost as bad as police that patrol your neighborhood who aren't from the neighborhood. Well, reporters reporting on your city who aren't from the city, who in fact disdain your city, will find any excuse to trash it. And many of us in Oakland know better. The phone number is 510-848-5732, 1-800-439-KPFA. Flashpoints is going to continue this conversation about the Occupy Oakland and the Occupy movement. I'd like to get about two more calls if we can as we get ready to make our way out. We are offering this afternoon the Black Power mixtape for a $90 pledge. All you have to do is call 510-848-5732 or 1-800-439-KPFA. We also have the Hard Knock Radio mix called Dedicated to the 99%. That has a lot of the interviews, a lot of the new songs that have come out. It's a soundtrack for this movement, which is not going to stop anytime soon. And that number is 510-848-5732, 1-800-439-KPFA. We're asking for a $40 pledge. A $40 pledge is what we're asking for. Any bit of money that you have goes towards sustaining this radio station, a station that, believe me when I say it from the bottom of my heart, we are dedicated to making sure that those who are marginalized and those who are voiceless have a platform to make sure that their truth and perspectives are not only told, but respected. Respected. Not trashed, not demonized, but respected. 510-848-5732, 1-800-439-KPFA. I want to thank everybody who is out there this morning who talked to us. I want to thank the folks from Occupy Oakland who, demonstrated a level of resilience. When you look at all the stuff that was trashed and you looked at the lies, for example, if you listen to the when we played that press conference, they said there was waste and all that. Well, we were there. We didn't see no waste on the floor, as they claimed. We didn't see all this trash that they talked about. It was pretty clear.